John Cole Scott is here, and we're talking about closed-end funds for the rest of us in today's challenging investment environment. Welcome to The Navigator. This is The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, The Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. Joining me today, it's John Cole Scott, Chief Investment Officer at Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, which is online at cefadvisors.com. And we're going to dig into some funds using the firm's research, which you can dig into yourself by going to cefdata.com. John is also the chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance, which you can learn about at aicalliance.org. John Cole Scott, it's great to have you back on The Navigator.
Always enjoy being here, Chuck.
Now, John, I said we're going to talk about closed-end funds for the rest of us. It's not that interval funds, closed-end funds, BDCs, et cetera, are not for all investors. And in fact, I know that we have plenty of folks who really have not only learned about them, but have participated and invested. But sometimes here on The Navigator, when we start to talk about closed-end funds, we really are talking about all the interesting flavors. We're not really talking about vanilla and chocolate, you know, plain, ordinary growth funds or stock funds or things that are right in the middle. And there's a story there right now and a couple that stand out to you in this environment for people who say, wait, I want closed-end funds, but I want them to be very mainstream in what they bring to my portfolio, right?
It is, absolutely. I mean, we thought it'd be really interesting to pick out more of the equity-focused funds, not the sector, not the bond, not the interval, not the BDC, as you said, and where their NAV correlations were all relatively high, typically 91 to 96% over time. But there's a lot of different features in each fund, both at the guts level, the structure level, the volatility level, or even the distribution level, that we thought would help people realize that it's always going to be more than just discounts and yield and sector. You got to dig a little deeper.
And that's important because when we're talking about closed-end funds, for so many people, if they like the structure, then they go, wait, I just want to be able to buy things at a discount. So their reason to go for a plain vanilla fund, one that's mainstream buying just broad equities, is, ooh, I can buy stuff on sale. So give us an example, because we're going to talk about a handful of funds here, of a fund that shows that off. It's buying mainstream assets, but it's maybe more than just a discount story.
So we'll first start off with AOD. It's an Aberdeen fund now. It's a 12 and change discount because we still love discounts in our world. And it has a relatively stable 8% indicated yield. But what's interesting, the yield is a high amount of qualified dividends, and that's uncommon versus many of the funds we pick for our clients. When we look at kind of NAV performance has done over 3 years, around 35%. So even through the pullback, it's had good manager performance. Another nice thing, because it's dividend stocks, they tend to be lower beta. Its NAV beta is a 0.84 versus SPY. And the expense ratio, again, it's a little higher than we like for a regular equity fund, but still reasonable at 1.14. And we really think about kind of the structure of it. You know, its three-year NAV standard deviation is at 21.8, which is kind of middle of the pack for the funds we'll discuss today, because there has been some volatility there. But the discount standard deviation is moderately low at 1.6. And I'm pretty sure most of your listeners don't look at discount standard deviation data, but we are going to talk about it with a couple of the funds today, and I really think it's important. It's only half U.S. equity, half foreign developed equity, but it's still about 94% big cap stocks. And it's a $1 billion fund, and it is actively managed, 72% turnover. And so that's kind of a starting point for the conversation about where you can look for an interesting fund in this space.
And again, that's AOD, the Aberdeen Total Dynamic Dividend Fund, a fund that you have talked about in the past that, again, used to be an Alpine fund, now part of Aberdeen. So that kicks us off. But like I said, you've got a handful to talk about.
Another one kind of tilting direction. So there's a BlackRock fund, the BlackRock Enhanced International Dividend Trust, BGY. Again, coming in a little lighter discount, 11.8, a little lower yield, 7.5. But again, a little bit lower total return, 23% three-year, because it's trying to do a lower beta experience. It's a 0.64 beta versus SPY, and the three-year standard deviation is a 16.9. So lower than the other fund. And again, expense ratio pretty much in par for a number we like for equity funds, 99 basis points. The discount's a little more volatile. It's a 2.2. It's only 10% U.S. equity, but still 91% big cap, and a turnover is 71%. So I think you're getting a lot of value for the expense ratio, but a very different allocation and a very different beta experience for equity funds.
This is a fund that if somebody goes to check it out, say at Morningstar, they're going to find out that it's a two-star fund. We've never really talked about things like star ratings as they impact closed-end funds. But my audience has heard me say many, many times that star ratings have a purpose, but it's not necessarily use them as a decider. Yet, I still have audience members who will say, why do I want a fund that's getting a below average star rating? So if somebody's going to use that to back up the data they're going to get from your site, which is much more comprehensive on closed-end funds, and again, it's cefdata.com, how does it stack up, or how do you take it that I got a fund and I don't care about the star rating?
We appreciate your audience. We want to let them know that the star ratings that Morningstar last week checked, and as you know, our executive director used to work there, doesn't account for discounts or premium, only NAV performance. And in my opinion, doesn't account for like lower performance because you're less volatile. So I would argue if I was on the stand that the Morningstar star rating for closing funds is great because it makes people make bad decisions that will catch the other side of that trade.
And let's point out, there's a reason
not
why...
Not your audience. We love them.
Well, there's a reason why they can't necessarily capture the discount, which is they'd have to have a buying point, right? They'd have to kind of say, hey, you bought in here and here was the discount that you got. And that doesn't really work with their methodology, as I understand it. So again, that was BGY, the BlackRock Enhanced International Dividend Trust. What's another one?
This is one of the oldest funds in the ecosystem, always fun to talk about, General American Investors. It's at a 17 discount. It does pay a dividend kind of at the end of the year, a chunky dividend. You never know what's going on. It happens to have 13% leverage, has a preferred stock as leverage for itself, but it's put together some good performance, 37%, pretty much just slightly off beta versus SPY. It's a 0.92. Look at the expense ratio, honestly, a little high at 1.36, but its discount standard deviation is 0.8. Again, as I told you, very low. One kind of interesting point I want to share today, and it's mostly U.S. exposure, but it has a small allocation to convertibles, which is not historically part of the fund, especially because it's General American Investors. We thought there'd be more U.S. equity, but it's a $1.5 billion fund and a modest 25% turnover, and really a classic fund that survived the 29 crash.
General American Investors, ticker GAM. That's three. The next one on our tour of plain vanilla funds worth looking at right now?
All these funds are over 15 years old. We wanted to dig to established funds because we hear that comment from some audience members occasionally and in our world as well. But the next fund is the Virtus Dividend Interest and Premium Strategy Fund, NFJ. It comes in at a 12 discount, again, at 7.7 quarterly yield, zero leverage. Just under 30% three-year NAV performance, a modest beta to SPY of 0.88, a three-year standard deviation of 20, and a discount standard deviation of 1. Its expense ratio, again, we think is very appreciative at 0.96%, but it does also have about 70% U.S. exposure, small international at 5, and convertible bonds for the balance. But again, it's 63% turnover. You're getting active management, and you're getting that unexpected convert exposure that you may have thought you wouldn't get other places.
NFJ, again, Virtus Dividend Interest and Premium Fund. And our last in our handful of funds that we're exploring today?
It's Tricontinental Corporation. It's TY. It's another 1929 fund. I really think it's interesting to talk about. It's different to General American. Again, a little narrower discount at 12.6, but only a 3.8 yield. But it does that kind of quarterly, so it does come off a little more consistent for investors. The reason I want to tell this story, and again, it's a long-term performing fund, it's a 43% NAV total return and only a 0.80 beta. So just for a moment, think about it. Better results, less vol. That doesn't guarantee the future, but it's a nice story, I think, to think about in this market. The expense ratio, you're going to love this, Chuck, 46 basis points. Its discount standard deviation is relatively modest at 1.3. It's, again, mostly U.S. equity at 70%. It does have a little bit of bond exposure, and it's 60% big cap, and again, 33% turnover. And all these funds are billion-dollar funds for the most part. So they're large, they're liquid, they're established, but they're all different. And you can use them differently in different accounts for different times, in your opinion, for the market cycle?
Somebody's going to take a look at Tricontinental. Again, it's ticker symbol TY. And they're going to look and go, it's down significantly this year, although it's down a heck of a lot less than the broad market. In all of these cases, are we looking at discounts that have widened and the ability to say, you know, look, if you're looking to buy something on sale and you want to get great assets and you want to take advantage of the downturn and not try to time it, just kind of know that you're buying knowing you've got a bounce back, that this is good timing on buying these funds because they're riding the market wave, but maybe not quite as volatile as standard funds?
I would say that, you know, like it's down about just under 8% NAV year to date, market price 11. When you're buying all these funds, you are buying equity, and equity will be a little more volatile if we get a recession or get wind. They always seem to come. But we want to remind people the closing fund structure doesn't have redemption pressures at the forced selling at the bottom. Miners aren't being given globs of money at the peak of the market that they have to put to work at irrational levels or have a cash drag. So there are protections for equity investments. But yeah, this is equity focused investments. It's where you want to grow over time, not worry about the bond side of the market. This is the equity side of your portfolio. But in the closed fund structure, even these relatively plain vanilla, more traditional structures, the funds my father used in his career, I mean, most of the funds we talk about in Navigator didn't exist when he was still trading, are really good opportunities to get that piece. But again, they tend to be better for taxation. They tend to be better performers in a bull market. They'll go down in a bear market the way everything can. But that's why there's different features. Generally, the monthly paying funds support the discount levels better because people tend to like to get paid monthly.
John, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Thanks so much, Chuck. Happy to be here.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. And yes, that's me. And you can learn all about my hour-long weekday podcast by going to moneylifeshow.com, or you can look for us on your favorite podcast app. To learn more about interval funds, closed-end funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, John Cole Scott. He's Chief Investment Officer at Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, and he's the chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance. His firm is online at cefadvisors.com, and their data site, it's cefdata.com. The Navigator Podcast is available every Friday. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast app and join us again next week for more closed-end fun. Until then, happy investing, everybody.